Latinos.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. 713-572-4610. Carlos Correa is headed back to Houston, and the fellas in the studio are absolutely stoked about it. We've talked about it for about an hour now. We have not seen the details, but there are a few, the details of the deal, if you will, but there are a few things that have come to light here. Apparently, Carlos Correa ultimately had the say-so of whether he could be traded and was A-OK with coming to Houston, obviously. And number two, there was clearly some dialogue about him playing third base and Pena remaining at shortstop, which to me is an obvious no-brainer. But the reports are that conversation was had. It's not like you're coming in here butting heads, kind of like what went on with Boston with Bregman. And, what's his name again? I forgot.
Rafael Devers. By the way, Clint, he spoke on that. Reports, he said, we were waiting for a shortstop to come in with the Twins, and now that I get to play third base, it will be great for me at this stage of my career.
There you go, man. There you go. It's not like we hadn't seen a great one do it in the past, and I'm not saying he's Alex Rodriguez or anything, but he's damn sure, I think, comparable on the defensive side of the game, and for him to move to third's fitting with that arm, Gold Glove at third. To go alongside Pena and Christian Walker on a daily basis in that infield is big time. But Carlos Correa is headed back. 713-572-4610. I want to give it back to the people. I know most of y'all anyway. There's a couple of folks I've seen across my Twitter feed that ain't happy about it. But, I don't know how you don't like this one, man. As alpha as he is, as clutch as he is, as, you know, potentially there's a void in leadership in that clubhouse relative to the way it has been over this crazy run the Astros have made. This is a big time get. Ryan, let's go to the phone lines real quick. That's the first time my man Larry has been on Dirty's Daily. Larry, how you doing, man?
Hey, big time, bad ass, man. I just wanted to thank you for letting your boy get in, man. Look at that dog. They're from my dog home. Man,
damn, Larry.
Say it ain't so.
Damn, Larry finally calls in.
Say it ain't so.
Dirty's Daily. And then he's got bad signal on his damn call.
Hey, don't you come my way. I ain't got no controls. I feel like Larry probably about to blame me for it. Ain't on me.
One more time, Larry. You there?
Yeah, Tyler, you there? Hey, man, what y'all doing, man?
Hey, don't get no attitude, me, bro. I got you.
So, hey, man, y'all tell So to get his finger off that button, man. This Carlos Correa day, man. Look here, man, they finna drop panties all over the city of Houston, man. And then you know them girls finna go to the nail shop and get them white toenails, man, because when Los is in the building, y'all know it's some good at the crib, man. My old lady already got a call, man, because she knows once they got my dude back, I had to call in and let everybody know this is a Jim Crane special. He does these kind of things, man. And to be able to go out there and get a bat and a glove like Carlos Correa, knowing that he should have been home, it is the greatest day that I can feel for my Astros, man. Because, look, if y'all haven't figured out around this city yet, we're about to start vibing in the city with them Astros and them Rockets and them Texas, man, because H-Town is on some whole new stuff, and I can't believe that they got Los back. And now my boy Altuve going to be happy. And let me say this, Clint. That clubhouse needed exactly what Carlos Correa brings. They needed that kind of leadership because everything about that clubhouse has been boring. And now we're going to see my boy come in there, and he's going to light a fire under Framber's ass, and he damn so going to light a fire under your darn ass. And, fellas, y'all might as well get ready to get sized up because once these boys start playing together, it's going to be a party in H-Town. I'm going to light a stick and drink some yak, and I'll holler.
All right, Larry, appreciate it, man. Tyler, drop that one. I don't know how to get that damn thing off there, man. I got you. That damn X ain't working in here, man. I don't know how to get it off. I appreciate it.
I still got blamed for it.
Hey, that's what the hell. I'm going to be honest with you. I hit that damn button about 15 times trying to get him in here, and so it may have been me cutting him in and out, but it sounded like that old cricket phone he's packing around out there. But that's what the hell I'm talking about right there, Larry, it's got to be that level. There's only a handful of guys that have come through the city and have the ability to move the needle in the fan base in a return like this, the way that I think Carlos Correa can. There's the obvious greats that have come out of the city. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about guys that have been part of winning franchises that end up coming back and just they're the way they go about their business is something that people absolutely love. I think I'm there. I know I'm there. I think Tyler's there. The Carlos Correa get run. I cannot wait to see what kind of deal the Astros made for Carlos Correa. I can't wait to see what they had to do. I can't wait to see what they had to do to bring this right here back to town, baby.
Of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Houston Astros select Carlos Correa, a shortstop from Puerto Rico Baseball Academy, Puerto Rico.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
There's a ball into right field. Hit well. That'll be over the head of Haniger. It'll bounce into the crowd, and that'll be a game winner. Astros win it 5-4. The walk-off double by Correa.
Carlos is a clutch man. He's big game Carlos to me.
Here's Gleyber Torres. Pass Bregman deep in the hole. Correa long throw. He got him. Carlos Correa from shallow left field.
In the air, center field. Correa's watching. This is back. And it's gone! It's a walk-off home run! Carlos Correa! Astros win!
La pelota en dirección hacia territorio del jardín central. Carlos Correa, Duque! Díganle que no es esa pelota!
When I talk to my wife, she knows. No getting your nails done, not getting your hair done right now. She knows.
In the air, deep to left field, fair or foul. That ball's a home run! 2-0 Astros, Correa.
So what are they going to say now?
The Astros fans, I will say thank you for all your support, not only on the field, but also off the field. I feel your love. Coming from Puerto Rico, sending your soul, I was kind of scared at that point in the city, the fans.
And watch you celebrate, and right now I'm looking forward to the champagne. Maybe get drunk tonight.
Let's go, Lance. Was he speaking for you, Tyler?
That's right. I'm getting drunk as hell to celebrate tonight.
Mr. She Knows, Carlos Los Correa, is on his way back to Houston. Ryan, I didn't cue you on that audio right there, man, but just your thoughts on Los being back with these Astros.
Listen, I think it's probably for this team, the perfect move, at least for this year. We'll see what the dynamics of everything after this year. But in that clubhouse, you know exactly what you're getting. He can come in, as you've said, and add, Larry said it as well, and add a level of leadership and intensity that this group sometimes lacks. He is a bat that you can depend on, a clutch bat, especially in the postseason, that you can depend on, and nothing, and no other player, I don't think, would have gotten the excitement level up like Carlos Correa does for the fan base and for the guys in the locker room. I do think there is something to like Jose Altuve being happy and excited about this and feeling good, or Yordan and all the guys that know Los, Framber, and all the guys that have had those relationships with him. I don't know if Carlos Correa is the best guy on the market, but for the Astros, it feels like he is the best guy to fit what they were needing and knowing him.
Well, Dana Brown obviously talked about bringing in talent, being busy here at the trade deadline, which, by the way, we got about 48 and a half minutes left before the MLB trade deadline. Astros are still working behind the scenes, trying to get in, I think, a third-level starter in this rotation. Hopefully they can get that done and put the cherry on the Put the cherry. What is it? The cherry on the
cherry on top, brother.
I know, but the sundae or float or something. Put cherry on top of this
I think any of them work. Yeah.
Of this free agent
milkshake.
Yeah, any of them, right? But hopefully they can get that done. On top of Carlos Correa, we got Ramon Urias, which was I believe that move was made. Was it earlier today or last night?
That was last night.
Third baseman, really a utility infield. They gave up Twine Palmer, who's a 37th ranked prospect according to FanGraphs. Low A ball. He was putting up some pretty good numbers. I think one of the stats that stands out: 175 batters. He'd only given up 3 extra base hits. So promising, but young. Not even a top 30 prospect for Urias there. Jesus Sanchez, outfielder, left fielder, left-handed bat that brings a little bit of power to the lineup. We knew they were looking for that. And the Astros give up Ryan Gusto and prospects infielder Chase Jaworski and outfielder Ishmael Valencia in that move. So that's where the Astros are at right now. I like where they're at. Hopefully the work is not done. I'm Clint Sterner. It's Ron Ugly on the flip side of this, and T-Mills behind the glass. You're listening to Sports Radio 610. Houston Sports Leader. Real quick, guys, I do want to take a look at Texans training camp. They are off today. It is day number 9 of camp, practice 7. 7 practices are in the can. Ron, if we take a look back at this year with this training camp with the Los got me worked up, baby. I'm damn near in a sweat.
It's all right. Take your time.
I hear you, man. I'm back here shaking still.
The Texans, damn it, are in training camp. The Astros are in the middle of the season. The Texans are in camp. 7 practices in, man. What in your opinion, with the Texans, if there's fans out there that are just now plugging in and kind of catching up on what's going on the first week, first 10 days of training camp with the Texans, what's really stood out for you?
Well, for me, it's you know, on a good side, on the positive note, is this defense is every bit of what we thought they were going to be. But, Clint, even more, some of the young guys, you can clearly see a next step up. And that's led with Kalen Bullock. He has really appeared to take the next step forward there. And you know, I even think Kamari Lassiter, although we haven't heard him a lot, but I think that's because he's been doing pretty well, and it's not always a bad thing when you don't hear a lot from corners. I think young guys like that. I think Henry Toa has built upon what he did last year. So I think that's a big thing, is the defense looked as advertised and everything we thought when we saw it on paper. You can clearly also see the impact of a C.J. Gardner-Johnson as well. And then I think on the flip side of that is just the offensive line and the offensive struggles, and I think in particular the offensive line when it comes to pass protection. And I'll just be honest, nothing about their struggles in pass protection, Clint, make me believe that they are going to be a dominating run-blocking team either, even though we haven't seen a lot of that. So I think those are the things that really jump out.
Yeah, look, I'll second several of those, man. I think this is a championship-caliber defense, and seeing them in person for a week, even with that expectation, I've still been unbelievably impressed. There's a couple of guys that are taking next steps. There's a couple of guys that are fitting in really well. And they are just absolutely championship caliber. And I don't know if that's doing them justice. I'll be honest with you. I think this defense has got a chance to be really, really, really special. On the offensive side of the football, I think that's where the questions were, right? I think the things that really stand out to me is look, I think CJ's fine. I think Nico Collins is fine. No Joe Mixon, so we're getting a heavy dose of Nick Chubb. And that has looked good. It's looked promising for what it's worth. We'll see when rubber meets the road and we get into real games there. You know, I think at the tight end position, this is a position that I'm most excited about, which is Cade Stover taking that next step. It appears that he is. And with Brevin Jordan being healthy and being at the very least an elite weapon, like a super athletic weapon, it looks like he's going to be that, if not more. Dalton Schultz is involved and doing what vets should do in terms of getting good reps and catching a couple of balls here and there. That group, right, I think is something to get excited about. And the one thing that stood out to me big time is Ariante Ursary, the second-round pick in this year's draft. He has really stood out in camp. Instead of being just a rotational piece, a rookie that they're trying to get comfortable, he looks like a guy that has owned this opportunity and is competing for a starting job at that right tackle position. So I think that is the real bright spot on the offensive side of the football with the two receivers, Higgins and Noel. They're coming. They're showing promise. They're coming. Yep. We'll see what happens there. But
you love them tight ends, man.
Which
is a bit of a surprise coming into it, because that was a group that I felt like, as someone on this show once said, that you were damn near allergic to. I feel like that group coming into it, you wasn't into, but you really seem to enjoy this tight end group, be surprised.
If you just get, which I think, look, I think Dalton Schultz is very capable of just being Dalton Schultz and getting this. I do. I know I'm hard on him, and when you – when
I was going to say, what does that mean?
I think he's a guy that can go make clutch catches. I think he is a guy that can be a safety net for the quarterback. I think they got to try to keep him out of the pass protection stuff, and I think he's got to step it up there. I mean, there needs to be a heart-to-heart, had, if it hasn't already been had, from him to DeMeco, that some things have to change. But Cade Stover is really, really coming there, and Brevin Jordan has got a chance to be a real weapon for this group. That needs, you got Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, and then beyond that, there's a real opportunity for somebody, whether it's another wide receiver, inside, outside wide receiver, or one of these tight ends. Somebody needs to step up and be that third receiver, maybe even the 2B, if you will, between Christian Kirk and a tight end that's on the field damn near every snap. So there's a real opportunity there, and I just think these guys, that with all the different options they have, I think it's going to be a bright spot. I really do.
All right, coming up as we continue, the top story, and we will continue to monitor the trade deadline as it ends at 5 o'clock, just about 40 minutes, a little over 40 minutes left before they can make deals, and we are really keeping an eye in terms of starting pitching and relief, potential relief pitchers that the Astros could be interested in. We will keep you abreast and updated on that as we move forward. It looks like Sally is matching Tyler with her baseball horniness at a complete 10. Where is your baseball horny right now? 713-572-4610. I just believe that's where Sally is with baseball horniness.
Dirty girl.
YouTube and Twitch, where is your baseball horny at? And I will give you some updated news centering this Carlos Correa deal, some quotes from him, and some news on who's not involved in it. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
It's Texans Training Camp. Live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. A big, big day here in Houston sports. A big, big day for the Astros that is continuing. There's just over 30 minutes left until the trade deadline officially ends at 5 o'clock, and the Astros have been busy making deals. The big one, the deals they've made today, Jesus Sanchez, an outfielder, a left-handed bat that they were in search for, a solid bat, 254, 320 on base, 10 home runs, 36 RBIs, and he's got 9 steals, so he can run a little bit from the outfield. So he gives them a left-handed bat and the ability for them to do different things in the outfield. But the big news today clearly is the return of Carlos Correa. He is a hometown hero, one of those guys that are core guys. And by the way, Brendan Rodgers gave up that number already, right? That's clear, right?
If he hadn't, I hope he knows he is.
Brendan, that you're gonna have to go with something else. I know you had number.
Brendan
one.
Got his position and his damn number taken. He may get a little bread for it though. Los is good people. He may get a little bread for it.
Make a little bread, or he may just. Los may not have to do anything depending on what happens here coming up with Brendan Rodgers. Who knows? He'll number one will be back, and he will be playing third base. A couple of things to go with this, guys. There was quotes here. Chandler Rome reports from The Athletic. There is one prospect going back to the Minnesota Twins in the Carlos Correa deal, sources tell The Athletic, and the Twins are eating some of the money. The deal is pending on a medical review. So if it is the Astros doing the physical and medical review, he should be in easy, good shape to pass that. So that shouldn't be in any situation or any issue there.
Yeah. Hey, look, the depth of that medical exam is going to depend on how much money Minnesota's eating, ain't it?
No, man, it ain't even that, man. Just go ahead and let whoever's been doing Yordan's evaluations, just let that guy do it.
Ron, what is that? What is that? I can't even remember what they're advertising, but that one meme you see all the time where that big heavy set security guard, he's supposed to be working
security. Oh, yeah, he just let him go through.
He just kind of lets him go through.
Just letting him go. Yeah, that's the person who did Yordan.
That's what we need. That's what we need for Lowe's.
Just do your normal job, Astros training staff, and he should be cleared whether he's got major problems or not. So that is, and by the way, when we say that one prospect, it also has been reported, Clint, that Bryce Matthews is not going to the Marlins or the Twins in the trades that the Astros have completed today. So no Bryce Matthews, their top prospect who they called up, and he basically beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in a 3-game series by himself last week or a couple of weeks ago. He is not included in either of the deals that they've made today. Not sure of the prospect or how much the Twins are making or paying, but we know Bryce Matthews is not a part of any of those deals. A couple of comments from Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa said it is the right time of his career to move to third base. We were waiting for a shortstop to come into Minnesota, and now that I get to play third base, it will be great for me at this stage of my career. Also, Correa had a message for the fans, so get going here. I'm coming home, and there's only one goal in mind, and that's to win a championship.
Let's go! I just want to run through a brick wall on a Thursday right now.
You just do it, man.
Let's go get ring number three.
Man. Hey, go ahead, Tyler. I'll give you permission. Go to that back wall and start gyrating. Do your back.
Ooh,
that ass.
I like where your head's at. I'll shake some ass. I got to prepare myself mentally for the 5 o'clock hour for it, though.
Do it, man. Get it out, man.
I got to really bring it, so I got to prepare.
You ought to be, man. Do your thing.
It's been quite the hit, Tyler. You might as well give him a new one, man.
Yeah, why not, man? Just
give him a second version, man.
I said just run into a brick wall. Give that ass a shake.
I do like
do what you
ass.
Need to do, fellas. Real quick, are you and everybody here a part of the show? You know, you can chime in too. Are you guys surprised that the Astros, you know, this version of the Astros? Are you surprised that they got this aggressive? And we are still hearing the Dylan Cease thing they're working on really hard. Are you surprised they got this aggressive and brought in these guys?
I'm not. I'm not surprised. I mean, you'd be a fool to think that, whether it's the Astros diagnosing these guys or not, you'd be a fool to think that all of these guys, all of these injured players are going to come back and every one of them are going to be playing at the top of their game, which is what would have to happen. If they would have not made any moves, that would have had to happen for the Astros to have a legit shot in an American League that's there for the taking, right? You'd have been a fool, I think, to bet on all of that happening. And so I think they've told us multiple times the window's still open. I don't know why it wouldn't be. As injured as you've been, you still have a 5-game lead in the division this year. I'm not surprised that they got this aggressive. In fact, I won't be surprised if they're not done yet and they got 27 and a half minutes left to make a move for Dylan Cease.
Yeah, by the way, the Rangers, they make a big move. They're 5 games behind the Astros in the West. They make a big move. They are bringing in Merrill Kelly from the Diamondbacks. He was one of the big starting pitching potential trade candidates that people were looking at. They bring him in and add to their rotation. So Seattle, Texas, and the Astros in the West are among the top teams that are most involved in what's going on here. And Clint, I'll tell you what, I was curious of how they would handle this, Clint, because we've talked about this. There has been a shift in how the Astros are doing business, especially when it comes to, you know, how they're going to pay players and the decisions they're making. For them to take on the money And I know what you said about Correa and how much, you know, this really results into like a 3.5-year deal that's just, you know, just a bit over $100 million. But I didn't know if they'd be willing to take on money like that. I didn't know if they'd be willing to, and we'll see what kind of prospect they have to give up for the moves they make. But I didn't know if they would still do that. But we had to remember, Clint, that Jim Crane is running this puppy. And Jim Crane, what we always know, and he has been as real about this as anything, and that is if they need to go get something, if they have to go get something, whether it be Zach Greinke, whether it be you know, anybody that they need to go get, if they got to go get him, Justin Verlander, another one, if they have to go get him, he'll go get him. And he sees this team, obviously, has one of the best records in the American League, and he said, let's go. Let's go. We got to pick it up. These guys have done everything they could thus far, but we have to go pick them up, and I'm going to sign off, and you got to go do this. Let's see what prospects it takes, what money. Let's go do it. And he is still that same guy that did all those things to go get, you know, all of the players he's gone and got over the years at the deadline.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about it. I mean, we can bitch and moan about him not, you know, paying the 6, 7, 8 year, you know, top of the market deals of these guys, but and that's fine. I mean, I understand the gripe, but the beauty of it is if the team proves over the first half of the season or leading up to the All-Star break that this window's still open, then Jim Crane will shift gears and go get what we need to get to hopefully make another ALCS World Series run. And this is one more time when, whether they make another move at this point or not, I think he's done that. He's proven that. He's checked that box.
Absolutely.
But to your point, with Ryan Gusto out, the huge gamble here with the Astros moving forward with this particular pitching rotation is you are banking on Lance McCullers, Spencer Arrighetti, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia. You're banking on those guys in a major, major way. So let's put the cherry on top, Tyler, and go get Dylan Cease or that third level starter, man. That'd be beautiful.
Well, Clint, hell, right now, I mean, who's the fifth person in the rotation at this point? Because Lance right now is on the IL, and obviously Brandon Walter is on the IL, and those other guys are still in Sugar Land. So you just lost Ryan Gusto. I'd almost be surprised at this point, Clint, if they don't have something done in the next, you know, 25 minutes or so. If they don't have another pitcher. And that was one of the things that was said. A starter who could start a game 3. And they haven't done that. And the Dylan Cease conversation continues to be talked about. People continue. Chandler Rome just brought something up again with about 25 minutes left that their talks are still going with the Padres. By the way, the Padres are in it too. So there's a lot to roll with going on right now. All right, let's switch gears just a bit. And again, if anything breaks with Dylan Cease or anybody else that the Astros may add, we will completely jump in and give you that news. So stay right here on your Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. But I do want to switch gears as we do have an off day. We've seen a little bit of a sample size. It's small, but a sample size of the Texans right now. And I will just pose this question and we can discuss on the other side. From this point, 7, 8 practices, training camp, has anything changed in where you see the Houston Texans when it comes to where they are in the hierarchy of the AFC? Has anything changed? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Again, the Astros, they have, well, them and the rest of Major League Baseball, they have 17 minutes. 17 minutes left until the trade deadline ends. And we will update at any point. I know Tyler and Cheryl are hard pressed to work on finding out the latest, if anything happens, if they are able to add any more. They have already done a lot. That 3 o'clock hour was serious with the additions of Jesus Sanchez and Carlos Correa, but we will keep you updated on that. All right, Clint, as we enter training camp, or I'm sorry, as we sit here 1 week out, full week out of training camp, 7 days of practice. Has anything changed in your mind where you see the Texans? I think at some point before the season, we will all sit here and look at, you know, the potential win totals. We will look at the, you know, what we think they're going to do as we get closer and closer to the season. But in terms of where you had the Texans, wherever you had them in the AFC, the tier or wherever they are in the AFC, has that changed at all in your first week plus of training camp?
No, I don't. I haven't seen anything move me from
either way.
Either way. I mean, look.
Say no.
I have the Texans right now in a tier two, and that's mostly, you know, largely in part due to their defense, largely in part due to just my belief in C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. But there are a few hangups, you know, that offensive line, the play caller, you know, the a lot of change on the offensive side of the football with a lot of youth over there. Now you add Joe Mixon's injury to that mix. So I wouldn't say there's been anything that moves me from, you know, so much that I'm going to take the Texans up a tier or down a tier. There are some things that I've seen that I feel better about the Texans. Like I feel a little bit better about some of the question marks, you know, that we had when training camp started. But I haven't seen anything that's going to shift me to move them a tier in the AFC either way.
713-572-416, YouTube or Twitch. Either way, down, up, you feel much better. You think you underrated them. You think you overrated them. How do you feel? Do you feel anything different from what you've seen or heard or what we've talked about in training camp? Clint, for me, I think they're about the same. This feels like a 10-win team. This feels like a team to me, Clint, that's very similar to what they have been the last 2 years. I feel like they're still in that same range. Because when I look at it, Clint, and I look at the AFC, and we can go through it real quick, I would put them over Miami. I would put them probably over Denver. But then I would say they're at the same level of the Chargers. And then for me personally, I think the Bengals, Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs are all teams that I think are ahead of them. Are teams that I don't think I think they are better than. Or I think they are better than the Texans. Those four teams, I think, and I would even like the Steelers, I think they're far better than the Steelers. But I do think they're right there with the Chargers behind those four. And I kind of felt like that going into it, and I think I am still in that space. I don't think they have taken anything forward to where I think they're you know, getting into that top four. I just think they're right in the same range as the type of team they have been the last couple of years.
Yeah, look, I think all the teams you mentioned, the Broncos, the Chargers, the Texans. I think the Bengals are and I think Bengals are more in the same playing field as the Texans. I think they're all chasing the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs. That's ultimately how I see the AFC. You got them three top dogs, and everybody else is chasing them. And now, if you wanted to rank the tier two, then we can get into the conversation. I think Denver's one of the better teams in that division. Probably not going to get the love until we see it, but I think they're one of the better teams in that tier of football. But yeah, I got a tier two draw.
I think I'm in that range. Yeah, I think I'm at range. Like, listen, I you know, I don't love everything that I've seen. Now, that defense to me is right there with any of the teams that we named tier one, tier two, tier whatever. You know, so I think they can play with anybody on that side of the ball. It's just the other unknown stuff and things that we're seeing early. You know, it's not a lot of jump. I think the Texans are going to, for the most part, take care of all the teams they should beat. I think they'll probably dominate the teams in this division for the most part, unless, you know, somebody like Jacksonville or Indy kind of surprises. But I still think they'll beat those teams, and I think they'll have similar problems to those other teams they had before. Someone here on the text line no way they're on the same level as the Chargers. You're high. They are way ahead of the Chargers. I think year two of Jim Harbaugh, and they have added some pieces through the draft and free agency. And year two for Herbert under Harbaugh and that crew. I think last year they won 11 ball games in year one, and I think they were going to be better than that. So I would put them. I don't think it's a huge distance. I don't think it's like how I feel how far the Texans are behind, you know, a team like the Ravens. I think it's close, but I would give the Chargers right now the edge over the Texans. But I don't think it's a big thing. But fortunate for them, if they do have to run into teams like that in the playoffs in the first round, Clint, most likely it'll happen at home, because I do think they'll win this division and get a chance to host playoff games. But I think someone texted in, the Bengals won 8 games last year. I know that was it. That was last year. I think those teams are really good football teams, and just a tad bit better than what the Texans are bringing.
Yeah, look, I think when you look at the Bengals, and I would say the Dolphins as well. I think you've got incomplete teams there, but because they're so explosive on the offensive side of the football, they have a chance. Bengals more so than the Dolphins. I'm not as sold on Tua, obviously, or Mike McDaniel or the weapons. But it's the same approach to football. Like, the Bengals and the Dolphins are going to try to outscore you. They're going to try to out-gimmick you. They're going to try to play with pace and do different things to keep your defense on their heels. And on the flip side of the ball, and this may change, but on the flip side of it, I think we've seen the Texans have some success there. So I would expect that again. I think the Bengals are incomplete teams, but they're really good because they've got some elite game-changing type of players. I think the Denver Broncos, L.A. Chargers, the Texans in that tier two, I think those are more complete teams that I would actually buy stock in.
Yeah. That's my thing is I wonder how complete the Texans are.
Well, it's fair. I mean,
at that side of the ball. And I think that's kind of a fair thought. Like, I think the Bengals are, their offense is probably every bit as good as the Texans' defense. And I don't know if I'm not as high on the Dolphins as you are, but I think when they're clicking, they can have a really good offense. But I can see that the Bengals aren't as complete, but I think they do have some guys, especially if they get Trey Hendrickson in there. They have some guys to do that can hold things up. And I don't think, like, what was it last year? They were averaging, they lost like 4 or 5 games they scored over 30 points in. Like, that's kind of hard to do. I don't know if that's something that they will replicate again this year, doing that. So, listen, I think the Texans are a good football team, but I do think they are probably, as you said, in the tier two thing, right? I do. I think the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens are probably in a tier by themselves. I think then it's the Bengals, Chargers, and the Texans, and I would put the Texans a little bit behind those two teams. And I can understand maybe some people disagree with that. That's fine. I just think offensively there is a lot that we just, at best, Clint, at best, don't know about. At best, don't know about.
Well, look, there's some real wild cards there, man. Your O-line and your play caller, man. Those are two parts that are hard to win in spite of, right? I mean, so it's, if those guys can just be, you know, if Nick Caley can just show promise calling plays, designing and managing a game offensively, just show promise and show that you're moving in the right direction and that you are a future play caller in this league, I think the Texans become a great football team, right? Yeah. The O-line, you don't have to be great. I'm not asking you to go out there and keep Chris Jones off the quarterback and keep him out of the damn box score, but just don't be a mess at times like you were, you know, last year. And I think this has a chance to be a really, really good football team. But until we see, you know, the product that is Nick Caley and the product that is this remade offensive line, I think it's fair to question how good this football team is overall.
Yeah, coming up, we'll let you know, 5 o'clock fire, if the Astros have made another move. By the way, the Rangers are close to acquiring resting bitch face Phil Maton. He's potentially going to go there to help their bullpen. So they are close.
Really help them finish third in the West this year.
They're close. They're close with that right now, as they are in second place. They have been adding to their pitching staff, but ORBF is potentially going to go with the Rangers. But six more minutes in that is left in the trade deadline. We will let you know as soon as we get back. A little 5 o'clock fire update on the trade deadline and let you know exactly what the Astros have done. And guess what, fellas? Football is back tonight. We were there for this last year. Football is back tonight. The Hall of Fame game, Chargers-Lions. And the Bengals made a sneaky move. I wonder if Texans fans wish they did and took a look at as well. We'll discuss all that. A little 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
The Drive is live.